morning, and welcome to IBC and our morning worship service. We are going to start with singing, so if you'll stand and turn all the way to page one, we'll sing "Rejoice, the Lord is King." Jesus the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice on the third. His kingdom cannot fail, his rules o'er earth and hell. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again. Rejoice in glorious hope, our Lord the Judge and God, and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. Way to lift up your voice.
Amen. You may stay standing. We're going to begin our service this morning in a word of prayer. I'm going to have Brother Jose come on up here. He's going to lead us in just a second. But we are thrilled to have you out here on this second Sunday in January, Vision Sunday. I know we've had a lot of sickness, a lot of folks still in and out. We've got several today that are still sick, but glad to have each one of you here today for our service. I may not have noticed you here. You may be visiting for the first time. We're grateful to have you here. I think Miss Olivia back here, I did meet. She's visiting for the first time. Glad to have her here. There may be some others sprinkled around. We're glad to have you out here today on this, the Lord's Day. Excited to see what God has for us. What a great hymn to begin on. Number one, it was easy to find. All right. Number two, did you notice the truth on that final stanza? Sometimes people shut it down on that final stanza. You know, you start closing the book and, you know, you're not even paying. No, that was the rapture. Rejoice, the Lord is going to come, and it could be today. What else is there to rejoice in? And so that is a key truth that we'll be looking at here in upcoming Sundays. All right, praise the Lord for that. Jose, if you'll come start our service in prayer. When he's finished, you may be seated.
All right, let's pray. I do, Lord, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to be in our church, Lord, freely and without fear of someone coming in here and arresting us or bringing us to jail, Lord. I just pray that you would be with the service today, be with the singing, be with the specials. I pray that you be with the preaching. Open up our hearts and minds to receive what you would have us to receive on this Vision Sunday, Lord. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross, and we thank you for what you will do for us in the future, Lord. We thank you once again. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We're going to go off a little bit. If you have a bulletin, you'll notice it says choir special, but you can tell there's no choir behind me. So no choir this morning. So I'm going to use this time to make one announcement, and then we'll go back to the hymn book number 18. I want to talk just a little bit about our verse of the month. And if you have a bulletin, whether you're a regular first timer, every time it's right in the middle page, it says memory verse of the month. Now, that is just something we do once a month. It's purely optional. No one has to do that. That's just between you and the Lord. However, we do keep record. We encourage you to be able to memorize that verse if you're able. We say sometimes it can be a little longer. And if it's a little longer and you're a new believer or you've never memorized in the past or you have a child and you say that's too much for him, then you have the liberty to memorize one of the two verses or part of that verse and just say that, whatever you're able to do. Many of you are capable of memorizing the whole thing. And so this is the beginning. We're beginning the fifth year of this. All right. Doesn't mean you didn't do it in years past, but I'm just there's been a verse, but as far as keeping actual record of that, we've been doing that. And typically you try to memorize it and then you say it to either Mr. and Mrs. Pastor, Mrs. Cremard, Shane or Katie or my wife and I. Now, sometimes they're not here, we're not here, but you have a whole month normally to get that in. And sometimes our shut-ins, if they're not able to be here, will say it over the phone to us, all right, or do different things. We've gotten, I've gotten voice texts, I've gotten FaceTime videos of people saying it, different things. So there's a lot of ways to do it. Most of you do say it face to face. And so I want to recognize those who successfully said a certain amount, 2024. All right, so we're already in 2025. You can see the verse of the month for this month. You still have 19 days to say that if you haven't already, all right? And we love to encourage you to do that. I believe everyone is capable of doing it. I believe the Lord would be honored if you did. I believe the Bible blesses those who memorize and hide the Word of God in their heart. All right, so let me encourage you perhaps if you've never done it before, or maybe you started in the past and it's just one of those, you know, I start and I die. Hey, those things happen. All right. No one's more spiritual just because they said all the verses. But there are some who have probably said all 4 years. All right. And if they've said all the verses for the last 4 years, they've memorized over 64 verses. That's pretty good. All right. Now, they may have done it for wrong reason, but that word of God is hidden in their heart. Holy Spirit can use that. All right. And so this year, now, it's not a perfect, we don't have a perfect way of doing it, as you know, because we're relying on humans. All right. And we're relying on someone coming up to me and say, Pastor, I need to say my verse. I say, okay. Whoops, did I write that down? We're relying on someone catching somebody. So it's never perfect. We often will miss some people here and there, and we certainly apologize. But normally by the end of the year, we have a pretty good record of those who said all of them or most of them, and those who were not able to do so, all right? So whether you've never done it, you've started, you failed, you put your head down because, oh, no, I'm a wretched beast, all right, because I never, that's okay. It's a new year. It's a new start. Try it again, all right? So if you're here today, I'm going to encourage you to stand up, and we're going to try to finalize this record for tonight, and tonight we'll have you come up, those who said all 12, saying the verse during the verse of the month. We have a book for you as a gift, all right? So these are those that we have record of that said at least 10 to 12. So you said 10, 11, or all of them. We've got a few that we're not sure about. We've got to get with you, so we'll try to get that finalized by tonight. So if you're here today, just stand. We want to recognize you. Stay standing so we have all of you standing, and we want to just recognize you for your faithfulness in saying the scriptures, all right? Sal Acquista, Emily Boyer, Sharon Boyer, Linda Campanella, Darlene and Pastor Al, not here this morning, Jim Philippek, Nathan Gillo, Sue James, Sharon Kempa, Katie and Shane, not here this morning, Laura Mudlock, Steve Mudlock, Debbie Page, Mike Parent, Kathy Pregman, Barb Rott, who may probably be watching from home in Tunkhannock, McKenna Russo, Shannon Russo, Jackie Searfoss, Joan Stempin, Chris Wilson, and then there were two that we weren't sure on that had 9 or 10, and so we've got to get with you. So if I didn't call your name and you're pretty confident you did 10, 11, or all 12 of them, or you're standing and you're like, I know I didn't do all 12. That's okay. All right. You said 10, 11, or 12, and we appreciate it. Let's give them a round of applause for their faithfulness. Good job. You may be seated. Thank you. All right. Good variety there. Good variety. We had 40 people say it last January. 40. All right. You know how it goes. It's with me and with you and everybody. And usually by the time you get to the end, the last month we had 23. So numbers will drop, and that's okay. We have a bunch of folks. I think we have at least 40 to 45 different people who at least tried and said one of all ages. So thank you for that. Even if you just memorize one verse a year, you're hiding the Word of God in your heart. But I do know this, 15 a year is better than one. All right. And so if God can use one verse, boy, what can he use with 15 or more? So praise the Lord. Join us if you'd like. Starting this month, we're all starting at zero. Anybody can participate. It's great to do it together, husband and wife, family, children, grandchildren. If you're by yourself, find another partner. Keep each other accountable. Say it to each other. And then hide that in your heart. Meditate on it. We'll tell you a little bit more about that, how you can use the verses of the month in future services. All right. Time to go back to that hymn book. This one's a little harder to find. Number 18. All right, this mic comes.
You may remain seated. While you're turning, I will put in my 2 cents worth of scripture memorization. I'll give you a story. When I was a younger man, I started memorizing scripture, and what he said is exactly true. I remember today verses that I memorized when I was in my 20s, okay? And I'm not in my 20s anymore, just so you know. And they stuck with me. Some of the verses are verses that we've done, so it's easy for me because I memorized them 40 years ago. So if you need any help, I will offer my assistance. Like I said, I'm big on scripture memorization. If you want help, give me a call. I will help you. I'll listen to you. I'll say mine back to you. Whatever. So anyway, number 18. Oh, how I love Jesus and his word.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
I'm the second.
It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can heal my deepest woe, who in its sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
As I think about what Christ has done for me, I would like to have 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, but that's not the song we're singing. Stand, and we're going to sing Only One Life, number 373. And think about that. Only one life. What he's done for me, I've only got one life to offer. Short as that may be.
Only one life to offer, Jesus my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise thee, and of thy mercy sing. Only one heart's devotion, Savior, consecrated alone to thy matchless glory, yielded fully to thee on the second. Only this hour is mine, Lord, may it be used for thee. May every passing from thee withholding, thy will I now obey. Thou who hast freely given thine all in all for me, claim this life for thine own to be used, my Savior.
And every eye shall Still today the world rejects him and mocks his precious name. But the day is quickly coming when evil will not reign. All our tears will be forgotten, all the wrong at last made right. When he comes to call his chosen ones to everlasting life. The trump will sound, the dead be raised, the truth will be made known. Every eye will see, every ear will hear, when we kneel before his throne. And every eye shall see him in his awesome majesty. Every nation shall worship at his feet, and every tongue at last confess him when he comes to claim his own. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, and every knee shall.
All right, good group of young people here today. Again, thank you for being here. Now that we've lost some young people, I can see who's here. All right, we've got some teenagers here. We still have one college student remaining. Juliana's got less than a week here, going to be headed back to Wisconsin. You won't be here tonight. She's going to be up front here. She's not preaching tonight, all right, but she's going to share a little bit of a testimony of an opportunity she has after school this semester, this summer, that she has an opportunity to participate in that we can help along with her. So you want to be here tonight for that. Looking forward to hearing from that. And we'll be back looking at, for the next couple Sunday nights, a little bit more Bible prophecy, what the Bible talks about, dispensations, Israel, Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, what is God doing, the rapture, the tribulation. We'll be back at that here for the next few Sunday nights. I hope to see you back here tonight. In your Bibles this morning, though, if you'll turn to our verse of the month, all right, easy to find, John chapter number 9. Now, that's the fourth book, the fourth gospel in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you need to borrow a pew Bible, page 1500, get you there, 1501, the book of John here this morning. This is Vision Sunday. Just means that I, as pastor, shepherd of this local church, praying about maybe a theme. Not that we always have to have a theme or always will, but sometimes it's good to unite the church by having a unified theme, something we can latch a hold on and focus, all right, that holds us there a little bit. Our banners from last year, till all have heard, will be taken down soon. That doesn't mean that we're not going to no longer pass out gospel tracts in John and Romans. We're done reaching Duryea. Absolutely not. That continues, all right? That continues till the Lord comes or we're removed from the scene. And that's binding for all of us. But we have a different theme that will be soon given out. We don't have the little flyer cards yet to sort of put in your Bible or on your refrigerator. And I do enjoy that. I go around visiting and every once in a while I'll see one of those on a fridge. And somewhere I was at, I can't remember where I was at. See, Mike, it wasn't on the fridge. It was on a very unusual place. It was almost like it was either like stapled or something to the front door or something. I can't remember where I was at. Maybe that was D. I think it was D. All right. D's got a little different spot there. Yeah. And so that's good to see. Now, she didn't know I was coming. She didn't do it to get brownie points. All right. But I do like seeing them out there a little bit here and there. Now we can put them somewhere and it doesn't mean anything and never really look at it. But hopefully that keeps us a little bit on point with the task at hand, what the Lord has for us as a local church in 2025. And I'll share that here in a little bit. And this message certainly will be sharing that with you. Okay. We're going to read four passages of Scripture this morning. So today is not expository, staying in one place, verse by verse, word by word. Today's going to be more of a textual or topical to give us our theme. We're going to read a verse in John, then we're going to skip a book. We're going to skip Acts, we're going to go read in Romans. We're going to skip a book, 1 Corinthians, we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Then we're going to skip a book, Galatians, and we're going to go to Ephesians. They're pretty easy to find. You're going to just keep moving to your right, and you're just going to jump over one book each time. I want us to read those four passages, one, two, or three verses, and that in its summary will be the theme. It won't take you long probably to figure it out. You may even be able to, in your mind, to even pick the exact words, all right? And so let's read these without any comment. We're just going to read, turn to the next one until we've read all four. And these passages are the passages that I'll be preaching out of over the next several Sundays, all right, as we'll continue to look at this theme at least for January, maybe even into February. John chapter 9. Verse number 4. Now, our verse of the month is 4 and 5. We're only going to look at one verse. Verse 4. Jesus is speaking and he says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. All right, we'll look at that again. You're going to skip the book of Acts. You're going to go right to Romans 13. All right, so we'll hear a lot of pages rustling, I trust. Romans 13. John 9 was Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now, what's interesting, we'll not get into this today, is this is almost the exact opposite of what Jesus said, but yet it's the same truth. See if you can pick up on that. Romans 13, we're going to read two verses, 11 and 12. Romans 13, 11 and 12. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Interesting. It's actually the opposite a little bit of what Jesus said, but yet the same truth. We'll look at that. I'm going to skip 1 Corinthians and go right to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, just keep turning in your Bible to the right if you're not familiar with books of the Bible, and go to 1 and now 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're drawing a conclusion in your mind. What's going to be the theme? What's going to be the short phrase? What's going to be the thrust that the Lord laid on pastor's heart for 2025? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll look at one verse, verse number 2. 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One final one as we skip the next book, Galatians, and go to our last passage, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. John 9 was Jesus speaking to his disciples. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. Romans 13, God speaking through the Apostle Paul to a local church. High time to wake out of sleep. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Wake up. 2 Corinthians 6 we just looked at. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Here our last passage, Ephesians chapter 5, picking it up at verse 14, we'll read three verses. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, or wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, three of the four passages were addressed by the Holy Spirit to a local assembly of believers. The exception was Christ in John 9, speaking of himself, but applying it to more than to his ministry while he was on earth. So as you put those four passages together, you certainly saw words and little phrases that were constantly being repeated. You no doubt saw the word time again and again and again. You saw the word now again and again. You may have latched onto the awake part or sleep part. You put those all together, I think most of you would be able to figure out that our theme this year is one phrase, but the phrase works both ways. And that's this phrase, the time is now. The title of the message, the theme for the year. The time is now. You like it the other way around? That's fine. Now is the time. I've tossed both of them. They're the same thing. Now is the time. The time is now. We're going to be examining that. We'll be looking at each of these passages in a little bit more detail, not today so much, but we'll look at those in a little more detail. What exactly do those passages mean for the believer? What does it mean to be in spiritual slumber? Why is the message to awake? And by the way, that message was given almost 2,000 years ago to a church. What's the message today to the church of God today? Wow. All right. Well, we're looking at that. The time is now. Now, of course, the key question is this. What do you mean by time? Because time can be defined by many things. Time can be just 24 hours, right? 12 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 24-hour day, six days a week or 7 days a week. Boy, 20, boom, boom, time. Or is time referring to a little bit different here? Well, we'll look at that in upcoming weeks, but primarily the time is now. Now is the time, and in these verses, is referring to a season. There's a particular time period, a season. It's a season of opportunity that must be grasped because it could soon be gone. And we don't know when that season will finish. It ties in also in John 4 where there's the harvest. There's a harvest. The time is now. There's a season. We need laborers. Seize the opportunity while it's there. You see that repeatedly. And that is a key message throughout the New Testament for God's people. The time, the season to wholeheartedly serve the Lord is now. Today. Sunday, January 12th. I'm not even talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about Monday. I'm not talking about January 13th. I'm talking about now, today. If you're here today or watching perhaps as a visitor, first-time watcher, church member, attendee, and you're homesick or out of town, if you're here today and you are a sinner lost in your sins, the time is now. Right now, today, right now. Is the time to receive Christ, to confess your sins, to call upon Him right now, today. If you're a believer here today, the time for you to confess and get right with God with sins is now. The time for some of you to surrender to God, you can have all of me, is right now, today. That's the theme today. That's the theme tomorrow. That's the theme all year. That will be the theme, if the Lord allows us to be here in 2026, that will be the theme all year long. It's now. Now, we don't always like that word. We like tomorrow. I like that word. Tomorrow. Later. I'll get to it. That fits our flesh. That fits our human nature. We're very comfortable with that. That's an easy out. Not now, not today. That'll make us squirm a little bit. Point of decision. What are you going to do today? What about tomorrow? We don't always like that about now. That makes us focus on right now. We have to look in the mirror. Where am I at right now? Where is my standing before God right now? Am I serving God right now? Am I passionate right now? Does He have all of my heart right now? Or in the back of my mind, is it always in the future? Tomorrow. At another time. I want to ask you, is there a sense of urgency at all in your spiritual life? If you watched a football game last night, if you're a Steelers fan like I am, I didn't watch it. We don't get it live. I just keep up. What in the world? Who knows what you were saying? Maybe you're an Eagles fan waiting for another game coming up.
It's like, Steelers, what were you, why didn't you play the first half like you played the second half, all right? You didn't even show up on the Redeemer. You're talking to the TV, and you're the coach, and you're the expert. You know how it is. You get frustrated, all right? Where's your sense of urgency? It's one and done. If you lose, you're done. You're golfing. You're going on vacation. Maybe that's what you want. You know, no sense of urgency. We get frustrated at sports teams, which don't matter one bit in eternity. We get frustrated with other things. Like, come on, come on, waiting in line. Come on, I got to get somewhere. Banker, dentist, grocery store person. You know, we have urgency, and we're often rushing around in life. And that sometimes will cause us to be angry and upset and always irritable. Is there a sense of urgency, though, in your spiritual life? Some of you are very goal-oriented. You work with clocks and calendars and times, and you're very efficient. You take pride in work and teaching and working and getting goals done and meeting needs and getting things done and beating the clock and over. You have any of that in your spiritual life? Does that make its way from the physical world into the things of God? Now is the time. Now is the time. Some of us will get frustrated with people who are slow-paced or young people who, come on, guys, parents, come on, get on the ball, get on the ball. And no, they shouldn't talk back to their parents, but could they say, what about you, Mom and Dad, spiritually? We could ask each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, do we have any sense of urgency in our walk with God? If not, believer, there ought to be. There ought to be. There must be. Why? Because the time is short. The sun is setting. The night is coming. And no man can work. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, now work during this message. Lord, I'm just the voice piece. I'm just the speaker. I'm just broadcasting the message that you have seared upon my heart for me and for this church. Lord, the time is now. Lord, if not today, then when? Lord, have your way in this service. Draw sinners to you. May we see souls saved today as they call upon the Lord for salvation and forgiveness of sins. May we see believers who are living in carnality, worldliness, lethargic, comfortable Christian living, get right with you today, Lord. May we see some who have yet to surrender, yield to you and surrender and trust God. Lord, I pray today you'll have your way in this service. Please start with me. Work as only your Holy Spirit can work. Move as only you can move, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You say, Pastor, why a sense of urgency? Why now? I mean, come on, come on. Now look, in the Bible, God always says today. Satan, your flesh, always says tomorrow. God always says now. Satan, the flesh, always says later. God always says in the Word of God, immediately. The flesh and the Satan always say at a convenient time. Which one of those dictates your life? When is it going to be convenient? That's one of the great lies, right? Well, at a convenient time. You know, got a lot going on right now. You don't have a lot going on. At a convenient, I want to get to that one day. When's that one day? Never really comes around, does it? Well, the husband and wife say, well, we'll live for the Lord, but right now we got a bunch of kids. Once the kids. Once the kids what? There's people in here that used to have the kids, and they're just where they were when they had kids. Well, once they're in college. Once I get a job. Once we get financially set. Once we buy a house. An unending game. Though it may be sincere, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it but the Lord? At a how many people are in hell today who waited for a convenient time to trust Christ? Not right now. I've got food cooking. Not right now. The kids have a ball game. Not right now. I've got a lot of schoolwork. Not right now. I'll talk to you at the end of the month. Not right now. It's just not very convenient. I've got a lot of things going on in life. I'll think about it a little bit later in life. How many people are in hell today because they were waiting for a convenient time? Millions. Millions. Who just said, yeah, I'll think about that. I'll get serious here one day in life. Not right now. I'm in the prime of my life. I'm going to sow my little oats a little bit. I got a lot of things I got to do. No, I'll do it at a convenient time. And that convenient time never comes because God always says today. God always says right now. God always says immediately. I want to give you several reasons why the time is now. I don't think any of these are new. You've heard them before, but it's good to repeat them again. If you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write these down. Why, Pastor? Why is the time now? And what do you mean by the time? What are you talking about? Well, we'll get to that. I'll make it pretty clear in application. Well, the time is now for me. The time is now for you. The time is now for this church. The time is now for every believer. Why is that? Number one, because life is a precious gift from God. We only have one life to live. We sang that. Only one life to live and only one life to offer. Life is a gift from God. We did not evolve. We're not cousins with apes and gorillas. The earth and world has not been here millions and billions of years. A God created us. He spoke us into existence in 6 24-hour days. He created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. And he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He did not do that with anything else he created. We have one life to live. The clock is ticking. We look around and we say, oh, to be young again. We don't know that they're going to have a long time to live. There's no guarantee they'll live to be 50, 60, 70, 80, and 90. Some of you say, oh, you're in 30s and 40s. Those were good years. I wish I was. There's no guarantee that. The clock is ticking. Life is a gift. We have one life to live. It's not to be wasted. It's not to be squandered. It's to be used for the Lord. James 4:14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while. That's speaking to every person. Life is only for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days, to not waste or squander the life that we have. We'd be here a long time if we won the pastor microphone. Say, do you have any regrets? A lot of regrets. Wish I could go back. Can't do it. Nobody can. Wish I could go back to when I was. Can't do it. Wish I knew about all this back in. Can't do it. Wish I was back in high school and lived for. Can't do it. Wish I had back in. Time moves on. Can only now. A lot of us live in the past, yesterday, it's over. Learn from it, move on, get forgiveness. Can't live in the past. Some of us are always living in the future. You say, well, hey, you giving out calendars? Yes, we are giving out calendars. We could write that in pencil, though. All right? As the Lord wills. This is our goals and plans for this year, but I'm waiting for the trumpet. That may be used for start a fire in the tribulation. I have no idea. Yes, we're making plans. We're going to be wise, redeeming the time, but we understand that none of those things could happen. I may not be here to do it. You may not either. So, well, then we got to just live one day at a time. No. Life is a precious gift. Don't take it for granted. Don't take your health for granted, right? Some of you say, oh, man, if I knew the things I knew now, I'd have changed a lot back when I was younger. Because back then, who cares? Eat what you want, drink what you want, live what you want. Now I'm paying for it. I didn't take care of my body. A lot of us, we live in the past. And some of us live so much in the past, it cripples today. Some of us live so in the future, you're never grounded for today. Nothing wrong with having some dreams and ambitions and aspirations if they're God-directed. But God always says, today is the day. You live in the past and you live in the future. You never do anything today. And the todays just become yesterdays, often with regret. Now is the time. Life is precious. Number two, why is now the time? Because death can happen at any moment. Is there anybody that was part of this assembly last year that's not here anymore? Have you never looked at old directories? I've not been here that long, but There's old directories laying around, 2011, 2010. You may have some old ones. You ever look through the names? Now, sometimes you get discouraged. There's people that left. There's people that were good people that got sour. Maybe they're not in church. Maybe they left for good reasons. So, but a lot of those folks have passed away. And there are a lot of different ages, too. Death can happen at any moment to any person. That's Bible truth. That's why the time is now. Now everybody, if you knew you had 3 days to live, God came to you and told you that, you would not live those 3 days the way you'd live if you thought you had 50 years. There would be a sense of urgency, a dedication to get into those 3 days the things that really matter. You'd go to people that you're not right with and say, I got to get right with them. I don't want these to be the last things I remember. I got to go to mom and dad I haven't spoken to in years. I got to do everything. I got to go to those people that I've never witnessed to. I've got to tell them. I mean, what's it matter if they laugh at me? Exactly. I know I'm going to be off the face of the earth. I've got to tell my kids things I wish I don't. Why I didn't tell them that before? There would be a sense of urgency. We would not live the way we live now. And that's exactly what should be the thrust of every Bible-believing creature that knows Christ. That's the urgency of the Scriptures. The time is short. Life is a gift. Death can happen at any moment. The Lord can return. Listen for the trumpet. Get busy. I mean, if everybody in this room just said, we're going to stop doing what we're doing, and all we're going to do till we die, the Lord comes, they're just going to go around and tell people about the Lord. Okay, I'm not saying that's what God wants everybody to do full time, but if everybody decided to do that, would that be a wasted life? No, there's not one person to say, that was a waste. When you stood before the Lord would not say, that was a waste. You say, well, maybe that's not what God has for me full time, but it wouldn't be a waste. That'd be laying up treasures in heaven. That'd be eternal reward. And I guarantee if you did it with the right heart, there'd be crowns. And that's not saying that's what everybody needs to do full time, but I'm just saying this. What are we investing our time and life in? What do we really believe? Do you really believe in the imminent return of Christ? Do you really believe that you could die at any moment? You're like, no, I'm in good health, everything's great. That's dangerous. Your health does not keep you alive. Your life is in God's hands. There's a time clock ticking. It is appointed unto men once to die. It's appointed. We just sang in the hymn, souls all around are dying. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That souls all around are dying. I hope so. Five seconds just passed. 10 people died. You know, 2 people die every second in the world. Almost an hour since the service started, 7,000 people have died. 7,000 people on the face of the earth have died since we started the morning service. You might say, well, that's not me. Somebody's spouse, dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, child died. Somebody died. 7,000 an hour. That's not too long to do math in your head. 24 times 7. But the old flesh always whispers, not you. It'll not happen to you. You've got plenty of time. Well, a friend may die. Family member may die. But it's not you. Don't worry about you. You've got lots of time. The flesh, always deceitful. Put it off till tomorrow. Next year, 10th grade, college, out of college, married, kids. It'll never stop. And you'll have a whole life of wasted opportunities where you didn't really do anything for the Lord. Life is short. It's a gift from God. Death can happen at any moment to any person. You know that healthy people do die in car accidents. You do know that young people who have wonderful 2% fat levels, body fat, can die when someone just crashes into you. You can choke on a piece of meat. You can be the healthiest person in the world. Car can go off in the ice. I mean, anything can happen to anybody at any time. There should be an urgency about that. Number 3, Not only is life a precious gift, not only can death happen any moment, but eternity is forever. Forever. Cindy shared in Sunday school about her husband James. I hope James is watching. James, he watches often from home. He's had some health challenges. Had a surgery done last week, and you might have got the prayer chain for those that are on it, that he was rushed to the emergency room. He was having some major pain and infection there, and if they treated it and caught it, he's back home. But he said it could have been 24 more hours, he could have been done. Sepsis, sit-in, infection. James, you died. Were you ready? God spared you, but what about you and me? You know how many people can go off the road? Just a little, hit a little bit of ice, black ice, you're not even speeding. To a tree? It can happen. Eternity is forever. Ever. Forever. Hell is real. It's real. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It's not in the cartoon books. It's not imaginary. It's not a little guy with a pitchfork and pointy ears. It's a real place of torment and punishment. God doesn't send anybody there. Our sin sends us there. God, in His great love and mercy, did everything He could to provide the way out, and it's free. He provided the free gift through His Son. He appeals to you every time to receive that today. If you go to hell, you rejected it. He longs for you to receive the free gift of salvation. He sent His only Son. Eternity is forever. And our eternal destiny is determined by our life. What we do while we're on this earth will determine our entire eternal destiny forever. You willing to risk that? I'm good. Convenient time. January's busy. I'm going to start in February. Well, summertime. I think once we get past summer in school, we'll never end. The devil loves that game. Tomorrow, God says, today. Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. That's forever. It's for eternity. God does not want you to go there. He provided the way out. It's free. Call upon the Lord today, today. Do not wait. I'll think about it this afternoon. After lunch. I'll be back tonight. Don't say those words. That, you don't know that that's true. That's not now. That's later. God never wants us to put it off later. And the fourth and final reason why the time is now is the return of Christ is imminent. We've sung that in our hymns. You heard that from the Syrophoses. If you believe in the doctrine of the rapture of the church by the Lord Jesus Christ, which this church holds to, I do, then there should be a sense of urgency for the work that God has called us to do. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. Imminent doesn't mean soon. It means at any time. There's a difference there. It may not seem like one, but it is. The Lord's return could be at any moment. There are no signs, no wonders. I saw people posting about the wildfires in California. Anytime we get stuff like that, hey, that's tragic things. We pray for those people. That has nothing to do necessarily with the sign of the Lord's return. There, we only have newspapers and recorded history of we know what happened the last few hundred years. How do you know what happened 500 years ago? How do we know what happened 1,200 years ago? Fires and ice and storms. Those things happen a lot. Can God use those for judgment? Absolutely. But we're not watching for fires and storms and mudslides. We're watching for the return of Christ, listening for the trumpet. He could return at any moment. The question is, are you ready? It was the thrust of many of Christ's parables as he got closer to the cross. It's the thrust of almost every Pauline epistle to the church, general epistle to the church family. It's certainly one of the preeminent themes of the book of Revelation. The return of Christ draweth nigh. The church is slumbering. Paul said it to the church at Rome. Paul said it to the church. I mean, if he said it to them, I love that question. How would we receive a letter from Paul? Like someone said that, I don't know if we'd like it. What does that Paul think he's saying? No, that's what a lot of the churches did. Well, who made you an apostle? We don't like that kind of stuff. I mean, what would the church do today? IBC, we got a letter from the Apostle Paul. Uh-oh. Well, let's see what this one says. All right. And we say, well, you know, how do we, do you like correction? Do you like rebuke? Do you like spiritual admonishment? We get mad. We get angry. We get upset. We leave churches. We get cross. We don't like it. The flesh hates it. What about you? Surely none of us in here believe we're perfect, that we all sin. We have to be admonished. That's part of being a believer. It's part of the body of Christ, it says. Admonish one another. Lovingly rebuke one another. Teach one another. That's part of the church. Do you like doing that? The return of Christ is imminent. And I said that was the last one. I forgot I had a number five here. Here's an addition here. The fifth reason why the time is now is he hasn't returned. And he's given us commands to fulfill until he does. Yes, we're to be looking, and yes, we're to be serving and watching, but he has not come yet. And so he has given us commands as our Lord and Savior that we are to fulfill and obey cheerfully. And it doesn't depend on the crowd. It doesn't say do this if most are doing it. It doesn't say do it if everybody votes for it. It doesn't say do it if everybody's in agreement. It says, I'm your master, your Lord, your Savior. You called upon me for salvation. I took you and made me yours. Now I've got some commands I want you to fulfill until I return. That's every individual before God. Sydney will not stand before God and answer for her mom and dad. She will answer for Sydney. Michael will not answer for his wife, his parents. He will answer for himself. Yes, parents will bear some responsibility for their children, dads especially. But every one of us, the Bible says, will stand before the Lord if we're saved and give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to be throwing out excuses about, well, my church family was so... Well, you know the only way I was brought up? Well, there's a bunch of people in that church that hurt, a bunch of hypocrites. That will not happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Each of us will look at the Savior and we'll give an account. Most of us, myself included, will weep like Peter. Most of us will be ashamed. We won't be throwing out excuses that we often use for why we're not doing stuff here. Well, my wife's not spiritual, my husband, he's not. If he'd get on the ball, we'd follow him. Or, oh, my parents are so inconsistent. You know, all the things we use of why we're not doing what we ought to do. So-and-so hurt me, they lied, they hate me. All the little excuses we use that are covered by the blood, and a Bible-believing Christian should be able to do what God says. But we have all those reasons for why we're where we're at spiritually. Write them down. Put them in your pocket. You pull that out, the judgment seat of Christ. You see what happens. When you want to name all those things, it'll all be for naught. Time is now. We've been given commands. We will give an account. I want to give account of being faithful. Not one person is perfect. We're all sinners. I trust you're a sinner covered by the blood and you're one of God's children. I trust that you know the Lord. We're going to finish back in John 9 and we'll conclude here. John 9. If you go backwards to John 9, our verse of the month, going to set the pace for the year. We have about four verses. We're going to memorize all the passages we just read this morning. That's going to be February, March, and April. All right? Our first four verses are going to be dealing with the theme. We may get into some different scriptures after that, but we're going to pound it in the foundation of the year. What we're memorizing are going to be our verses that deal with the time is now. Let's go back to John 9:4. I want to look at it for about 2 or 3 minutes and finish this morning. What did Jesus mean in John 9:4? This is taking place in it's a whole story that takes place in the entire chapter. The story of the blind man, born blind from birth. Now he's healed and then receives salvation. So right at the beginning, they pass this blind man. He's obviously an older man begging. He can't see. The disciples, hey Lord, why is this guy blind? It was common Jewish tradition in those days that only reason you'd have a handicap like that is you must have done some great sin. Or your parents had sinned, and so God's punishing you. You say, how come that guy's blind? Did his parents do some sin, you know, awful sin, or did this man? They're not saying, is he perfect? He said, well, why does that guy have that? And the Lord answers, says, no, neither. Yes, they've all sinned, but he's not blind because of any particular sin. He's blind for the glory of God. He was born blind for this very moment. He was born blind so that this very moment I am going to heal him and the glory of God will be manifested. Whoa! And then he says this little verse, verse 4, speaking to his disciples, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Notice the urgency. I must. Christ is not talking about a 24-hour day. Uh-oh. No, he's talking about a season. Specifically, he's talking about his season, his ministry. He's talking about the cross is quickly approaching. His time is about finished. He's been given a task to seek and to save that which was lost, to destroy the works of the devil, to proclaim the gospel. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the picture here is there's a season that the sun is slowly beginning to set. Daylight is almost done. Not going to be able to get anything done at darkness. And so I've got to get in like a farmer. I've got to get up early. I've got all day. It's a beautiful day. I've got 12, 13 hours. We've got to get all the harvest in. There's a lot of work to be done. We've got to get it in today before it turns dark. The Lord is speaking of his ministry in a broader approach. He's speaking to everyone that knows the name of Jesus Christ. We must work the works of him that sent me. Here he's talking about God that sent him. He had a particular time. There was a particular period. He was approaching Calvary. His season of opportunity was closing rapidly. For you and I would say, yes, the night is rapidly approaching. We know not when the Lord could return. We know not when our life could be over. We don't know that we have more years or more seasons. We don't know how much longer we have to influence our young people. We don't know how much longer we have to reach the neighbor, the boss, the coworker. We don't know how much longer. You don't know you're going to be here next year to start serving at IBC. You don't know that 3 years from now when life settles down and you get done, then you're going to be able to jump in here and do everything you can do. None of us know that. The sun is setting. The day is almost over. There should be a sense of urgency for the believer. What have I done for Christ? That counts. What am I doing for Christ right now? That lasts. What did I do for Christ today? It's 11:41. What did I do for him today already? Now, for some, that's an unusual question. Well, it's Sunday. We just go to church. Just go to church. Whose church? Well, IBC. No, his church. The Bible says that he died for it. Said he purchased it with his own blood. Said he's the head of it. Said he's coming back for it. Not the building. I think that's pretty important to him. Did you prepare your heart today? Did you come out of duty or delight? Do you have a love for the brethren, and I mean all of them, not your side or your section or your age group? Do you love to fellowship and see brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you get excited about the work that God has during this time period of the church? Do you get excited that you have a copy of the scriptures that you can open and read at any time? Do you get excited about the fact that someone could get saved today? Or is that old news? Do you get excited about the fact that you can return tonight and worship? Do you get excited about the Sunday school lessons that some of you heard today? Do you get excited about that your child right now is hearing the Word of God and could run up to you after the service and say, Mommy and Daddy, I trusted Jesus today? Do you get excited during invitation? There could be some people weeping at the altar. Maybe some people go to one another and get right with God. Does that excite you? Or is it like, when's this thing over? There's some football games today. We might be back tonight. We might not. It's cold. It gets dark. Hey, there's all kind of legitimate reasons, but the time is now. We'll do almost anything if it's something we love. You've seen the pictures. I mean, if there's a football game in Buffalo and there's 3 feet, there's fans are out there. They're huddled up. They're ready to go. For a football game. For a football game. Guys go out hunting at 4 a.m. We can do anything we want when it's important to us. We'll have a sense of urgency for a lot of things. We'll put in the time, the effort, the money, the self-discipline. We'll go without sleep and food for the things that we think are important. I want to ask you, what about God? What about God's work? Does he have your heart, child of God? Are you passionate? Are you pursuing Him? Is it wholehearted? Do you have anything that you have held back that's not? So no, you can't have that. Not now. Maybe later. Maybe next year. Oh, don't hit my little hobby horse. Don't you start hitting specifics, preacher. Now you're meddling. Isn't He God of all? Should be nothing hidden from Him. Do you not trust Him? Why would you not give Him everything? What do you not trust Him for? What are you afraid? Some of you afraid God call you to preach, guys? You afraid God call you to the mission field? Parents, are you afraid God will take your children? You think He'll do worse than you? You don't know your God? Oh, the time is now. I want to close with an illustration. I appreciate Brad giving me permission to use this, so I didn't just use it out of the blue. Some of you know Brad there in the back. Appreciate him being here today. I was up making some visits in Tunkhannock on Friday. He was actually just left Barbara Rott and was driving to see Gary Myers. I got a phone call from Brad, just a couple miles from Gary Myers. And chatted with Brad for a while. And I, what's going on? I'll make it short here. And he said, hey, I'm headed to the hospital. I just got a call at the end of work that my uncle is in the hospital. I've been in the hospital for a few days, but I didn't know that. And he's going to have major surgery tomorrow morning, Monday. He's got an aneurysm, and I got to get there. Now, some of you know Brad's background a little bit, and maybe not, maybe you do, but he lived with his uncle and them for a good while here, and but then moved out, rents from Sal here, and you know, maybe things didn't go the greatest when he left there, but he said, Pastor, I'm not sure what to do. Could you help me? So we talked. I prayed with him. I said, well, you go. I'm going to visit Gary. No, it just happens when I left Gary. He called again. We both were leaving. He was leaving the hospital. I was leaving Gary. I said, well, how'd it go? You know, that's an intimidating thing. Number one, it's, you know, your uncle, and he's not a believer as far as you know, and he's got a Catholic background. He can be a little rough, and you don't know who's going to be there in the room with you, and you're a younger Christian, and things didn't end so good, and you really haven't seen or talked to him in some while. So how's that going to go? Well, praise the Lord, it went well. His uncle was the only one in the room. Brad was able to be with him and talk with him, share a little bit of his testimony, ask him about his salvation, pray with him. It meant a lot to his uncle. I use that illustration not to single out Brad better than anybody else. Many of you can. But the point was this. Brad said to himself, now. I got to go now. He said, I got to go now. I'm not going home after work and take a shower. I got to go right now. I mean, I haven't seen him in months, maybe longer than that. I've got to go right now. I can't put it off till tomorrow. I can't say, well, I'll go Saturday. I've got to get there right now. I've got to talk to him right now. I don't know what could happen right now. If I wait, he could die before the surgery. He's got an aneurysm. That can happen any moment. I've got to go now and talk to him about the Lord. And he obeyed the Lord despite fear and trembling. It's now. It's not ever later. Now, just imagine if he didn't go now. Now his uncle's still alive as far as I know. But many of us have done this. We've said, well, I'll go at a convenient time tomorrow, clean up. I'm not ready right now. I've got a lot of fear and anxiety, so I'm going to let that rule my life. And then you go, and you're like, hey, where's Monk? Oh, I'm sorry. He didn't hear me. Wow. I should have went. Exactly. Now. Today, not later. Always now. As we conclude and get ready to the invitation, I have a two-part invitation. If you're here today, maybe you're an unbeliever. You're lost in trespasses and sins. The Bible says you stand already condemned, guilty before God. Hell awaits you. But God in His mercy has let you live. Whether you've heard the gospel today for the very first time or you've heard it multiple times, those who have clearly heard the gospel presentation will have no excuse before God. Would you call upon the Lord today? I'm talking about right now during the invitation period. I mean right now today. Today. I don't mean when you leave. I don't mean in the car with parents. I don't mean in the car. I mean right now. I don't mean at the hot restaurant. I mean right now in just about 2 minutes we're going to have invitation. And if you're here today, you've never trusted Christ or you're not sure, and the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin, whether you've heard it for the first time or you've been playing the game with God or the Holy Spirit revealed to you for the first time, you're not even saved. Would you be willing today, right now, to call upon the Lord, confess that you're a sinner and admit that to God, realize that Christ paid the way from you and call upon Him to save you from your sins today. I encourage you, old sinner, do that. Please do not put that off. The clock is ticking. Hell is waiting. There is no convenient time. The Bible says, He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. Don't be afraid of the Lord. Don't listen to the devil. He's a bully. You have nothing to fear. Why don't you come to the Lord? He will not. And I've done a lot of evil, wicked things. That's why He came. He will receive you. He will forgive your sins. He will give you brand new eternal life. Now, for those who are saved, the vast majority of this crowd, are you in good standing with the Lord? Are you right with God? That's not some big mysterious thing. I'm either right with God or I'm not right with God. I'm enjoying sweet fellowship with Him. I have a tender heart. Doesn't mean I don't get convicted to walk with God closer. Am I right with God, believer? Today is the day to get things right. That doesn't mean always it's unconfessed sin. That could mean the next step in your spiritual life. That doesn't mean everybody who comes to the front is evil and wicked and vile and has all kind of unconfessed sins. Sometimes that's true. Sometimes a person comes up because God's called them to live the spiritual life. They need boldness and soul winning. Some of them need to come and maybe they say, God, you can have all of me. I've been holding back on you. Maybe some parents come up and say, God, we haven't been raising our kids for the honor and glory of the Lord. And they know it. We're sending mixed signals about what's important. Maybe a young person comes up and says, you know what, I haven't had a great attitude. I mean, it's not always huge, hideous sins. Sometimes it's saying, oh, God, I want you to have my heart. Lord, forgive me. The altar will be open. I'm asking you, oh, Christian, today, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not this afternoon, not tonight, not next Sunday. Today is the day to get things right with God. I want to encourage you, confront, confess, and forsake any sin today. Especially the sin that will paralyze any believer, pride and stubbornness. Pride and stubbornness will take you not to hell, but to the grave of empty life. I want to challenge some of you that are saved to let go of your anger, your bitterness, your evil speaking, your malice, which plagues you and others. It's a poison among this church and any group of believers. Why would you not get that right with God if you're saved? I want to challenge some of you who have yet to surrender everything. God's got some of you, but not everything. That's why you have an ineffective spiritual life. The spiritual life is only designed to live one way. All in, God. All in. My marriage, my kids, my family, my job, my goals, my future. All yours. No strings attached. Trusting you completely. You can have all of me, Lord. Whatever you want. Men, some of you men, time to take the leadership in the home, the marriage, the family. Truth be told, some of your wives are far more spiritual than you are. Love the Lord more, do more, have a more tender heart. They're longing for some of the men to be the leaders in the home. Lead your marriage and home, men. Be strong in the Lord. Pride will keep many a man to come to the front. Everybody will think, I want to please God, not what everybody else thinks. Parents, perhaps you've been lax on training and disciplining your children for the Lord. They'll grow up and be gone before you know it. Truth be told, 50 to 75% of young people raised in fundamental churches are gone. It's not necessarily the church's fault. It's parents who don't raise them. They're mean, nasty, and selfish, and we overlook it. We laugh at it. We don't discipline them. Truth be told, if the parents got together, they'd say, do you think our kid's going the right direction? They'd say no, but nobody's doing anything about it. A lot of kids are spoiled to death, and parents overlook it even at the church. God's called us to train them, to teach them, to discipline them, to model it while they're young, while their hearts are tender. Perhaps the Lord would call you now. Now is the time to do that, now. Maybe you've got to get some things right with others. The body of Christ should be unified. Ought to be love among the brethren. A lot of people have more loyalty to their actual family. We're family than God's family. Yeah, we're God's family. Every time I go to the family Christmas and Thanksgiving, I only talk to half of the family. That's not very much of a family. Why are you avoiding Uncle Johnny? We don't like them. We'll get along. That happens in a lot of churches. Why? How's that possible? Humble yourself, somebody. Do what God said. Get it right. Confess that. Oh, what a difference. Oh, the devil will get mad. He's getting mad right now. He's talking some of us out of these things. The flesh is like, no, you can't do that. Will you admit and confess? Some of you live in fear constantly. Always afraid, always anxious, always worried, always, trust the Lord. Give it to Him. Walk in the truths of Scripture now, today. Let go of your fears. Claim the Scriptures of the Bible. Stop making excuses, young people, older people, pastor. Don't live behind lies and having to do that. Be bold maybe in sharing the gospel. Well, I know every year I say I'm going to talk to my boss. Do it. I'm going to talk to the neighbor. Do it. I know I'm going to talk to my teacher. Do it. I know, but I'm afraid. Claim Bible truths. Do what God says. See what God works. Experience His power. For some of you, it's a very practical thing. Some of you have never been baptized. You've been saved for years. The Bible is very clear. That's the next step for any born-again believer that understands what it is. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It was part of the Great Commission. Christ commissioned that. We're to do that as a church. You can't advance very far if you've never been baptized. That doesn't get you to heaven. You can be an effective, good person, but God says, why are you holding back on that? Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Talk to someone at the church today and get going on that. Some of you have been baptized. You've never joined a good church, whether it's this one or another one. God says, that's not part of His plan to just come and sit. He said, I have a church for a reason. That's a living body to serve, to minister. You have gifts to use. Get involved, some of you. Serve the Lord with a humble spirit. Develop faithfulness, some of you, in church attendance. Now, not next week. Not when the weather gets warmer. Because when the weather gets warmer, there'll be another reason. It's park time. It's daylight long. Woo, got so much to do. It'll never stop. Dig to the heart of the excuse and confront it with Scripture. Maybe you need to be faithful in giving. Well, we can't give faithfully. We've got lots of bills. Give now. Trust God. Now's the time. There's always going to be a reason why you can't read your Bible, why you can't pray, why you can't soul win, why you can't come to church. It'll never stop, yet the Bible says now is the time. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, no man can work. Christ's return is imminent. You believe the Bible? Are you excited about the fact that we serve a living God? He's alive. His word is true. We need not fear death, hell, and the future. We know what unfolds. He's coming back to deliver us from the wrath to come. We get to live in the dispensation of the church. We have the entire Bible, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the church alone. Well, this is the greatest time in the history of the world. He's given us a commission to do. God's looking for believers who are bold and trust God and take God at His word and say, now is the time. And now, as the sermon is over, now is the time. It's the time of decision. It's called an invitation. It's where the rubber meets the road. Am I going to listen to the Holy Spirit? Or am I going to do what I always do? Later. Another service. Let me think about it. God says now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'd ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. Not that you can be spiritual, but that you can focus on the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you without distraction. If you're here today without Christ, today is the day of salvation. It doesn't matter if everybody here thinks you've been saved for 40 years. It doesn't mean you might even actively serve in a ministry, and yet God has showed you you've never trusted Christ. Swallow that pride and be humble today. You may be a first-time visitor here and say, I don't even know these people. I'm scared to death. You may have been visiting for some time and say, I don't know why I don't like to do this. That's okay. Trust the Lord. No one's going to embarrass you. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit of God has drawn you and showed that you're a sinner, realize that Christ paid it all on the cross. That all you've got to do is turn from your sins, call upon the Lord, and He will save you. Today is the day of salvation. Today, Sunday, January 12th, 2025, as our pianist begins to play. If you're here today and you need Jesus Christ, would you be willing, by faith, to slip out of your pew and just slip to the back? My wife's back there if you're a lady or a young lady. We've got some men back there if you're a man or a young man. They're pretty nice people. They're not going to hurt you. They're going to take you to my office or a private room where no one will see you. They'll sit with you. They'll talk with you. You can ask any question you'd like. They'll open the Bible and give you Bible answers. No one's going to force you to do anything. But if you say, today is the day, I don't want to wait. I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to call upon Him today. Would you slip out right now? Would you trust the Lord right now and just slip out and talk to one of them, please? If you're nervous and scared, tap the person beside you. They'll go with you, I'm confident. If you brought a friend today, maybe look at him and say, I'll go with you, it'll be okay. There's always a battle to do the will of God. Sinner, don't put that off. God's been talking to you and wooing you and showing you, and you know that's your greatest need. Would you go to Him today for salvation? All right, what about it, believer? Child of God, you're saved. Praise God. You won't be in hell, you'll be in heaven. But are you right with God? Are you right with every believer? Husbands and wives, are you right with each other? Is there anything hidden? Ill feelings, anger, bitterness? How about it, young people? Living in the home, out of the home. Are you right with mom and dad? You going anything behind their backs on the sly, hidden in secret? How can God bless that? How about a believer? Has the Holy Spirit pointed out any sin that needs to be confessed? Are you willing to surrender today? Maybe God's calling you. The invitation is now. The altar is open. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist is playing. Perhaps God would have you be humble and come to the front and get some things right with God. We're going to let the piano play. We're going to let God work. The Holy Spirit's working. The time is now. No need to look at anybody else. No need to peek. It's between you and God. You're going to walk out of here today and have the peace of God. You're going to walk out of here and you probably get angry and irritated at the preacher. What will it be? Eternity could depend on the decision you make today. What would God have you do, Christian? What would God have you do? You need to make a decision for your family, your children. Has God been working in your heart for years about something and you've been brushing it off? Next year I'll get involved. Next year I'll get baptized. Next year I'll surrender. Next year I'll... And that year never comes. We'll have one final stanza, and that'll be it. I preach what God laid on my heart. I can't answer for any person but myself. How do you know you're going to have another chance? I believe the future of this church and what we do for God depends on the decision some of you make today. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for what you laid on my heart. I thank you for the privilege to shepherd this local church. Lord, I believe I preach exactly what you laid on my heart. And Lord, I believe that I portrayed Christ as a gentle Savior. Lord, we didn't hide the consequences of sin or hell. Now, Lord, in your great mercy, please be merciful to those who resisted the Holy Spirit today. Lord, if there be any sinner in here on their way to hell who resisted the Holy Spirit, oh God, please give them another opportunity. Harden not their hearts. God, I pray for the believers in here today who resisted and grieved the Holy Spirit of God. God, please be merciful with them. Give them another chance. Lord, allow them in your love to chasten them gently. Draw them to you, Lord, that they would not ruin their lives and others. Lord, we know how much you love us. Those you love, you chasten, that we might experience future joy. Lord, let none of us harden our heart. Let none of us be running from God. And Lord, I pray that this church, this year, would do more for you than we've ever done for your honor and glory. I pray there would be a sense of urgency for the things of God, a sense of urgency in our marriages and our homes and our families, a sense of urgency about the scriptures and prayer and soul winning, a sense of urgency about serving the Lord right now because the sun is setting. And Lord, you could return at any moment and we will not have any other chance to do the things we promised to do. Now, Lord, give us more opportunities if it be your will. If you tarry your coming, we know that you are merciful and long-suffering. There's more folks that need to be saved. Oh God, have your hand upon this church as we walk in obedience with you, I pray. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We praise your name. Oh Lord, bring us back tonight expectant, excited, eager to gather with the brethren, to dig in the Word of God, to fellowship with brothers and sisters, to serve the King, and may we come with joy. We'll ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.